I want to turn with us this morning. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and in His kingdom. Drop down to verse 7. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love You and we thank You for this morning. Thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house and to worship You, God, in spirit and truth. Thank You for the good songs and the singing. Praise You. Thank You for Your sweet spirit, God, abides in this place and in Your people. God, we ask You, Lord, to help us now. Pray that You'd minister to us and bless us and give us that, God, from the throne of grace that we stand in need of this morning. God, that we might be a blessing unto Thee, that we can lift up our voices and praise You. Thanking You, Lord, looking for that glorious day when we will see You, God, face to face. But unto then, God, we need the strength and encouragement that we might come along and encourage others along the way. God, I pray now You'd help us, Lord, this morning, God, to even search our own hearts, Lord, to see where we're at and where we need to be, and help us, God, to get there through the precious Word of truth. Help us, God, just to snuggle up close to Your Word, Lord, and help our hearts, God, in these last days we live. God, I pray, help us, God, not turn from You, but to turn to You. Run to a holy and righteous God. Lord, we might do like John, lay our head on Your breast, that we might hear the holy heartbeat of God. And Lord, we just love You. Ask You to help us not say anything to hurt anybody. God, You died for. Pray that You just bless us, touch us, God, as only You can. God, give us that to say. Give us wisdom. Give us clarity of thought, clarity of speech. And Lord, we bow our heads and thank You for all You've already done and what You're going to do. Bless these, God, that's having hardships and situations. God, I pray that You'd be with Evelyn. God, bless that family. Heavenly Father, we pray. And God, we'll bow our heads and thank You, praise You, and ask all these things in Jesus' blessed name for Your sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning for just a little while, if God will be my help, on this thought of Brother Charles, standing before the judge. Standing before the judge. Now, if you notice this here, the Bible said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Now, He said that the Bible tells us that there's going to be a judge and we're going to stand before one day. Amen. Every one of us is going to stand before that judge one day. Whether you think you will, whether you want to, whether you think you will or not, you will stand before that judge one day and we'll give account. Now, I want to say something about the judge today. That judge has absolute authority. Amen. When we stand before Him, and we all will, He's going to have authority. The courtroom's going to be His. Amen. He's going to have absolute authority in that courtroom. He's going to have absolute authority over what's said, what's not said, what's allowed, and what's not allowed. Amen. He is going to be the judge. And there's nobody going to stand there and give Him no lip. Amen. He won't take it. Amen. And I don't think anybody will, because I believe they'll know better. But He's going to be a judge in absolute authority. That's why Paul would tell Timothy, he said, I charge thee therefore before God. He said, Timothy, I'm telling you something, praise God, about a great and a mighty day and a great and a mighty judge. He's not just any judge. He's an almighty judge. He's the judge of heaven and earth. He's the judge of glory, amen, even today. And praise God, His judge is righteous judgment, praise God. He judges right, amen. Not what people might think. Not what people might want Him to think or what Him to do or what we might want Him to allow. He judges righteous judgment according to this blessed old book. Yeah. Amen. Everything He judges out of it'll come out of the pages of this book. You say, preacher, how are we going to stand before Him and come out all right? Praise God, just live the book. Apply this book to your life. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, and He'll lead you through it, praise God, unto the day that we come before Him and as our judge, and we'll stand before Him, praise, glory be to God. We can stand there with a pure heart and clean hands, amen, before Him and say, to God be the glory. Amen. It's not of works that we've done. If we try to be good enough, praise God, to please the Lord, we'll never make it. But praise God, with the help of the Lord, if we follow Him, and seek His goodness and His mercy and trust in His righteousness. He moves into us and begins to do work for us that's pleasing to Him. And one day that judge can, he'll look across the courtroom, he'll see you, and he can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And we'll know, praise God, we found favor in the eyes of the judge. But Kevin, I'd like to know that I got one day I'm going to have favor in the eyes of the judge. Praise the Lord. Because He is the judge. He's the judge of the people. He's the judge of His people. Just because we claim to be Christian, because we claim to be children of God, don't mean we're going to get an easy out. We're still going to stand before the Lord and we're going to be judged. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. He said, for we know Him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. Who is that? That's the Lord. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. He said, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge who? His people. So the Lord will judge His people. So they's coming for even for us, for children of God, for children. Amen. Those that's been born again, we'll stand at the judgment and we'll give account. We'll give account for everything we've done in our life after we claim to be saved. Or after we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We can claim it all day, praise God, and not be real. Yeah. Amen. You say, well, preacher, no, if we claim it, we got... No, listen, I want to tell you, there's a whole lot of name and claim it today. But I tell you, that's not always so. See, I can claim to be... Brother Lynn, I can claim to be a millionaire. Amen. I can even dress up and act the part. I can go out and buy me a great big fancy car and ride around in it. Maybe hire Brother Lynn to haul me around and claim to be a millionaire. That don't mean I'm a millionaire. Praise God. But when I'm a child of God, when I've been born again, praise God, the bloods have been applied to my life and God Almighty has moved into my heart. He's taken up His abode. How do you know? Because He leads me by His Spirit. There's something in me that won't let me do what I used to do. Amen. Praise God. Brother Hayes, I can drink all the alcohol I want to drink now. But the Holy Spirit of God, praise God, He said, praise the Lord. He said, that's a bunch of filthy mess, leave it alone. Praise God, I don't want to. He took my want to's and changed them. I'm not that person I used to be. I don't have the same desires I used to have. There's a whole lot of worldly things I used to love, participate in, jump and shout over. Praise God, I'd rather be at the house of God shouting praise the Lord now. Amen. Why? So something inside me changed. Praise God. I've been re-geared. I've been reprogrammed. With the help of the Lord. That make any sense? Amen. God Almighty, praise God. He's taken charge of my life. You say, well, preacher, what a burden that must be. No, it ain't a burden. See, that's what's wrong with us. We count it as a burden, but it's a joy. Amen. It's a joy to come. It's the joy to study the Word. It's a joy to see the Lord happen. It's a joy to pray, be able to realize the miracles that God's doing in hearts and homes and families and lives. Amen. Right before our eyes. Praise God. But He said, the Lord judges people. Amen. We'll stand and give an account of what we do. Bless His holy name. We will, every one of us. Because after we're saved. See, He said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sins. You know what the Bible's saying right there? He said, once we're saved, praise God, and the Holy Spirit begins to take us in a different direction. If we refuse that, we rebel against the Spirit of God, we're rebelling against God Himself. And He said, we'll have to give an account for that. So let me just bring it down to where the rubber meets the road. Amen. If you live it in your family, live in your home, in your community, and where you live, praise God, and things are stirred up in you, praise God. When you're angry and bitter and you scream and you holler and you all kind of activities in your life that's ungodly that God spoke your heart about, you'll give an account for that. Amen? All the anger and the wrath and the clamor that we have in our lives. Where does that come from, by the way? Does anybody know where that comes from? It comes from the society in which we live. And it's escalating to a high point. Amen. We see it. It's in television. It's just it's pushing it down our throats. And you see, there is no more family programming where everybody is doing right. There's no Leave It to Beaver no more. Amen. Are you? Some of you don't know who Leave It to Beaver is. I just told my age, didn't I? Amen. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as Andy Griffin no more. Amen. We're living in a society where they're showing people and they're showing home in total chaos and turmoil. People screaming and hollering and ridiculing, putting each other down. And God never designed it to be that way. He said to get rid of all that stuff like we hate it. Chunk it out the door because we're going to stand for righteousness and give an account for that. Amen. He said, preacher, why are you preaching to us like this? Because I love you. And I ain't going to stand accountable for you. When you stand before that judge, you ain't going to say, well, why didn't Pastor Jeff tell me? Amen. My hands is going to be clean. Amen. Praise God. Of your blood. Because I'm telling you right now, praise God, we ought to be different creatures in Christ Jesus. He's created us different. He recreates us in the newness of our mind. Amen. Gives us different thinking. When you get to thinking different, you act different. Amen. When you get to acting different, you react different. Praise the Lord. Because he said when we sin willfully, when we do it knowing better. Amen. When you know better and you do it anyway. He said you'll have to stand before God, a righteous judge, in his courtroom. Where he has all authority. And you'll stand without excuse. Amen. You don't say, well, preacher, you know daddy made me mad. The reason I don't know. That won't cut it. Amen. Praise God. We'll stand to give an account for yourself. See, we're living in a society that says, you know what? They can't help it. They're just a creature of their situation. Amen. Praise God. What you got to do is take your situation and make it different. Only way you can do that was the help of the Lord. Amen. I was talking to a young man last night. Well, Malachi. And he was going and touring colleges. What, five different colleges? He went to and toured and was looking at them. I said, that's all fine and well. But I said, when you look at these calls, praise God, you need to set in your mind and in your heart, praise God, that they're not going to change you. They may educate you in the knowledge that you may need for the career that you're pursuing, but don't you let them change you spiritually. Don't you let them tell you, praise God, that there's not a God. Don't you let them tell you, praise God, that the good God of heaven, that judge of glory, praise God, that he ain't real. They said on the news this morning that 37% of the millennials, that's the young people that's coming on now, don't believe in God. They claim to be atheists. Amen. Why? Because the Bible said in the last days there'd be a great falling away. If you come up and praise God, and now you go to these liberal schools, they'll teach you that there's no God. That you're your own little God and what you become is up to you. I want to say, praise God, he'll lead you straight to hell and you'll be threefold the child of hell that you've ever been. Amen? But praise God, through the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in him and following him in his pathway and his direction, praise God, he'll bring you out, praise God, and make you bigger than what you ever thought you could be. Amen? Amen. Make you that man, woman, boy, and child, praise God, that God can be pleased with. Bless his holy name. He said, we'll give an account. But he goes on in verse 27, said, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Now, who is an adversary to God? Amen. Those that rebel against him. Those that continuously rebel against when we know to do right and don't do it. To him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. Ain't that what James said? Those that know to do right and don't do it, he said it's just sin. And he said we're just choosing to be sinful. But there's a great God that's watching us. He's watching me. He's watching. You say, well, preacher, he's just watching Israel. He won't judge us. We're the church. Amen. So we won't come in the same condemnation. No, we'll come into a greater condemnation. Because he said, where much is given, much will be required. And the church has been given the volume of the New Testament. We know what the Lord Jesus Christ expects of us. Amen. He expects something a little better. Because he's there to help. He sent the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That'll lead us, praise God, every step of the way. He'll show us the path. Praise God, help us to stay on it if we'll let him. We just can't deviate from the path. And we don't deviate from the path when we stay with that we're following. Amen. So we have a judge that's going to judge us. Amen. He's going to judge his people, but he's also going to judge all men. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. He said, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. Now here he's not talking about that Zion, that Mosaic, where the Mosaic law was given. He's talking about that heavenly Zion. Amen? And unto the city of the living God. That's that city that Abraham was looking for. Amen. Had foundation. Whose builder and maker is God. He said, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. He said, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. Amen. So who's God going to judge? He's going to judge everybody. He's coming a day of judgment for everybody. If you think you can get out of it, you've got another thing coming. Because one day we're all going to stand before the judge and we're going to give an account. And what we do now, praise God, will determine what happens to us when we stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Having loved the Lord, praise God, we stay with Him. Realizing that that judge that's a watching, praise, that He sees everything about us. He's going to judge every person. And He keeps an accurate account of everyone's life. Now watch this. Did you get that? He keeps an accurate record of every person's life. He said in Revelation 22, he said a book's going to be opened and another book, which is the book of life. Amen. Praise God. He's going to take those, even those professed atheists, those 37% of the millennials that think they're better than God. One day they're going to stand before Him in His courtroom where He has all authority, and He's going to open a book. He's going to open a book of life, praise God, where there was a place for their name and their name's not there. He'll open another book, which is a book of their deeds, and He'll say, your deeds ain't good enough. Amen. And He'll cast them out and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, what terror. That'd be the worst words a man could ever think about hearing. To be cast out and Him say, I never knew you. Amen. Bless God. Boy, what a tragedy that would be. But He's watching over. He sees us in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 11, so let's labor therefore to enter into that rest. He's talking about that rest of God. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Amen. What'll keep us from following the will of God? Unbelief. Amen. You can call it whatever you want to. You can call it backsliding. You can call it rebellion. Praise God, it's unbelief. It's not trusting in the Lord. He said, for the Word of God is quick. Amen. That means it's living. It's powerful. Amen. It means it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. You know what he's saying? God knows what you're doing today. God knows what you're thinking. Did you know today God knows why you're here? Hello? You say, well, I'm just here because mom and daddy made me. Bless your heart. You better get in while you can. You better forget about what mom and daddy think about your spirituality. You better forget about what mom and daddy think about church, praise God, and you better get in. Amen. Because God Almighty's going to stand, He's looking at your life, He sees where you're at, He knows what you need, praise God, and you better let Him fix you up. Man. Let Him prepare you, because He knows you, to the very dividing of soul and spirit, the bones and the marrow, amen, the very innermost part of your being, God knows about. And He wants to satisfy, He wants to give you joy and peace. You say, well, preacher, I ain't worried about that, I'm okay. I got this thing covered. He says, verse 13, he says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. A lot of people say, well, He don't know about me. You know, I keep my life secret. I keep it hid under a bush. God don't know what I'm doing. Mama may not know what you're doing. Daddy may not know what you're doing. Mama or Papa may not know. Your preacher may not know what you're doing. But God knows what you're doing. He knows exactly where you're at, why you do what you do. Amen? Amen. He knows your heart, the thoughts and the intents of your heart. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Amen? He ain't blinded by none of your shenanigans. Amen? Your shenanigans, what you do, pray, God sees all of them. Amen? He's there and He's seeing them. He's holding and He's standing in judgment. To judge you. Well, preacher, what kind of God is it that would stand looking to judgment? He's wanting to judge you in righteous judgment. He wants to give you the benefit of the doubt. But if we don't follow Him, we don't love Him, praise God, like He does loves us, praise the Lord, or we're going to continue in all pernicious ways. Amen? Instead of going in the ways of the Lord. But the Bible tells us, the Bible tells in James chapter 5, verse 9, He says, "Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Amen? Did you get that? He said, "Behold, pay attention, the judge is standing before the door." Amen? He's standing before the door, and he's wanting to let you in. Amen? Hello? Amen? Amen. He's wanting to let you in. He's wanting to open unto you. But you've got to want to let Him. He's there to open unto you. He's there to let you in, but He's also there to keep you out. Amen? God won't let, hey listen, God won't let foolishness into heaven. God won't allow ungodliness into heaven. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's time God's people realize that there's some things that God hates. Amen. He hates fornication. He hates adultery. He hates alcoholism. He hates drug addiction. He hates all these wicked things. That's not a part of who God is. You say, "Well, preacher, that's just stuff that happens." It happens, praise God, because we allow it to happen. It's sin sickness. And the judge is what? And He wants us to bring us out of that sickness. There's so many that's standing at the door. And God's trying to knock. God's trying to get in. God's trying to give us attention. It's kind of like those 10 virgins in Matthew 25. He said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The five of, and five of them were wise and five were foolish." Amen. I wonder how would you classify yourself today? Would you classify yourself as somebody that's wise? There's a lot of wise guys and wide crackers in this world, ain't they? And or would you classify yourself as foolish? Well, he said they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Amen. That's like getting in the car and going on a trip and not filling up with gas and not having no money to. Foolish. He said, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made. You know what? That's when you least expect it. When you're not looking for Him, He's going to call us out of here. There's going to be a trump and a shout, praise God, and the children of God's going to go out of here and everybody else is going to be left behind. Amen. He said, at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet Him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Amen. He said, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. See, we got to make, what that tells us, we need to make preparations now to be ready when He comes. Amen. When He comes, and it's going to be a moment of twinkling eye, you won't have time to make arrangements, praise God, when the trumpet sounds. If you ain't ready to go, you'll be left. Praise the Lord. He said, but the wise answer saying, not so, but or verse 10 said, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Amen. Remember I said he's standing at the door. He's standing at the door. The ones that was ready went in, he shut the door. And afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered, said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. He said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. The judge is standing at the door. He wants to let you in, praise God. But if we're not ready, we're not ready. When He opens the door, you can't get in. He said, how do you get in? By the Spirit of God through the Word of God. When it touches your heart, there's so many people sitting in our churches today that's lost without God. Because they made a profession, there's no possession. There's no presence of a living God in their hearts. Amen? And we're just going through the motions day after day. Just going through it. And we got real good at it. Amen? We're good at acting like Christians. But the thing is, we're not supposed to be actors. We're supposed to be the real thing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, because God's standing at the door. He's standing at the door and He's watching. Praise God. In Revelation chapter 19:11 said, in righteousness does He judge. Amen? And make war. Amen. He judges in right. He judges all those things that are right. And he makes war with those things that are wrong. Amen. He makes war with that's right. In other words, he stands against the wrong. And he stands for the right. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." I want to say that great judge, the one that the courtroom belongs to, he's a watching over us. And he sees where we're at. He sees what we're doing. He sees where we're going. And he sees why we're going. The thoughts and intents of our heart. That's what's important to God. A lot of times we get caught up in situations that are beyond our control. But praise God, we still should seek to go in a Godward way. Amen. Why? Because one day we're going to be standing before the judge. And we're going to give an account. He said, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Now listen, I want you to get this. Well, this is important. Now God of heaven, the righteous judge, he's watching over us, and he sees every one of us. Amen. He's going to judge his people. He's going to judge Israel. He's going to judge all people. That's all of us. And he's watching over us. He's looking for the good things. He's looking for the good things so he can encourage us so we can keep doing good things. Amen? Amen. You know how to train your children up. We train them up to do things good. We reward them for good behavior. Amen? And we have to punish them for bad behavior. Now I know we're living in a day and an hour when they say, "Well, preacher, you know, it's just not right to punish your children." Really? So if little me or somebody, well, one of these young is running toward the road, and you stop them, you bring them back, you say, "No, honey, you can't go down there, or you'll get hurt." And so she takes off again, and she runs down there to the road, toward the road again. And you run down there and you say, "Well, no, wait a minute. You know what? She's got a mind of her own. Just let her go do what she wants to do." You know what happens? She'll be flat. She'll be like a possum on the street. Amen. So you got to stop them. You got to get their attention. You got to diss them and say, "You know what? You can't go to that road. You'll be killed." Amen. There's got to be some discipline in our life. People say, "Well, preacher, I don't believe in that." Yeah, that's why the world's the way it is. There's no discipline. We just do what we think. We let people do what they want to do and not what they ought to do. Praise the Lord. But he said, God's watching us. He sees what we're doing. Praise God. He sees why we're doing it. And his ears are open to our prayers. He's listening, praise God. He wants to help us. He wants to minister to us. He's listening to our prayers when we cry out. Praise God, when we cry out, we ought to cry out for mercy. Amen. Cry out for help. Realizing there's an almighty God, a judge that owns the courtroom, praise God. And he's there and he's watching. But he said, "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Amen. He said, the face of the judge, the face of the Lord, the one that has authority over all of the courtroom. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says that he hates evil. Amen. He loves righteousness and he hates the evil. The Lord is against them that do evil. So what does that tell us? We ought to do those things that's right. Amen. It's because he's watching us. Lord, give me this message. Friday I had to stand before a judge. Amen. Went to a courtroom, and there he was. And it was his courtroom. He controlled it. The bailiff come out, and the people piling in there, and the doors were shut, and there was more people than the room would hold. And people were standing in front of the door, and the bailiff said, "Hey, you folks got to go around to the wall. You can't stand in front of the door." The judge don't allow it. He said, "You people don't be," he said, "and why I got your attention, don't be talking in the courtroom. The judge don't allow it." He said, "You be quiet." He said, "If you got any cell phones," he said, "silence them now." He said, "The judge don't allow it." You know what people went to doing? They went to silencing their cell phones. They went to moving around away from the doors. Why? Because the judge controlled the courtroom. He had absolute say over that courtroom. Amen. And so they begin court, and they stood up and they said, "The honorable judge such and such, we stood up and we showed him respect." And then we sat down and they called the first number. And what I was there for, I had jury duty on November the 14th. Well, that week, that's the week I'm going to be gone.
So I had to go up there to try to get the judge to give me a postponement for another day. And so they called the first week of November, and they had them line up to go before the judge. And so they lined up and went before the judge. It took an hour for that group to go through before the judge, and the judge would question them. He'd ask them questions, wanting to know the reason they was there, why they was there, what they wanted from him. He said, "What do you need me to do?" That was what he said. I thought, glory to God. Amen. Before he's ever tried them, before he ever made a decision, he said, "What do you need me to do for you?" So that's what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary before he's ever started. He said, "What would you like me to do for you?" And they said, "Huh?" They said, "Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna, save now, God." But that group went before the judge, and he seen all them. And then he called the next group, and I was in the next group, you know, the 10 through the 15th. And I got up, and I was about halfway back through the courtroom. All the folks was in front of us. And I got up to the judge. And I mean, he was questioning hard. And I thought, I'm going to have my ducks in a row. Now, I said, "Lord, I need you to help me, because this is the man I need to help me. Do something for me." And I got up there, and he's a little, while they was doing the first group, he was a little crippled boy and his mother. And because of seating, they moved, had them move plumb around and sit in the place where the jury would sit. And when they got down toward the end of their number, she got him up and was trying to get his stuff together and move around there before they could get over there to where they need to go to approach the judge. They called the next group. And so the little lady finally got over there. Three or four went ahead. She finally got him over there, set him down on the front. She says, "Well, Mom," he said, "Mama said they've done called my number." And she said, "Son, I know it's all right." He said, "Let's just sit here and be quiet." She said, "Just sit here and be quiet." He said, "When they're all done, we'll get." She said, "Mama, they done called our date." She said, "It'll be okay." She said, "Son, you can't stand in that line like that. You can't stand that long." Amen. And I heard her say it, and I looked down, and she had her paper, and it said November the 9th. I thought, "Oh God, she done missed her turn." And I whispered to her, I said, "Ma'am," I said, "you can get in front of me." And when I said that, she looked at me and said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, get in front of me." And I helped her. I got her, helped her up. And I looked up there, and that judge was looking at me. I thought, "Oh God, he's not done made him mad. I'm in his courtroom, his authority. I've done spoke out. I've done talked in his courtroom. I've done been disobedient to the judge. I said, I won't stand a chance." But the judge called a couple more, and then he called, motioned them to come forward. And that little crippled boy and his mama went up there to the judge, and they talked to him. And the judge told that lady, says, "You know, go ahead and just take him off the dockets. Don't call him no more. He's not able to come." And that little crippled boy, him and his mama, they hobbled out of there. And when they got by, the judge motioned to me. I go, "Oh, goodness." I said, "Lord, help me." And I went up there, and I presented myself to the judge, and he said, "Good morning." I thought, "Glory to God." I thought, "Hey, glory to God, it's just sounded better already." He said, "Good, well, I played God one day by my judge. He's going to step before him, Brother Kevin, and I hope he can just look at me and say, 'Good morning,' praise God, because it'll be good morning throughout all eternity." Bless his holy name. As I stood there, I pulled up there, and I said, "Good morning, Your Honor." He said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Your Honor," I said, "I need to get a postponement. I'm going to be out of town." And he didn't flinch. He didn't bat an eye. He says, "Okay." Took the paper, turned around, handed it to the clerk of court. He said, "Here, make him another date, a postponement." Glory be. Never asked me no question. Never asked me. All the rest of them, he asked them why, where they were going on vacation, when they put in for it, why they were going. I mean, just question after question, trying to get them called up. But he never asked me a word. He just said, "What do you need?" I said, "I need a postponement." He said, "Okay." He said, "Well, preacher, how could that happen?" Because a righteous judge was looking at me. And when I thought I'd done something that hurt him, praise God, I said, "Oh, God, forgive me. I'm in his court. I spoke out of turn in his court. I want to say this is his court." Amen.
God of glory, He's watching over. He sees all that we do. He sees every time we make a mistake, and He knows why we make it. Whether it was accidental or intentional. Amen. And I thought, He's seeing me. And He was. And praise God, He realized what I was doing was for the benefit of someone else. And when I got up to Him, praise God, He just looked at me and He smiled and said, "Good morning. What can I do for you?" Amen. Praise God, when we try to live in the will of God, praise God, that's all God doing. He's looking down upon, He's smiling. He says, "Praise God, what can I do for you? What do you need today to make your life better? To point you, take you in the right direction. What can I do for you today?" Amen. Praise God. And He's a righteous judge, and we're standing before Him. Amen. And we're giving account. But praise God, you know why? You know what's the best part about that? There's reward for righteousness. Amen. Look back in your Bible at Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 8. Well, verse 7, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Now, Paul's saying right there, he said, "I've done what I was supposed to do according to the will of God." Amen? Did you hear what I said? He said, "I've done what I was supposed to do to be in the will of God, to finish well." He said, "I finished my course. I have kept the faith." I want to ask you this morning, are you going to keep the faith? He said, "We are not of those that fall back into perdition." He said, "We're not of those that go back to what we used to do." He said, "We're those that press forward to the cause of Christ because we know that one day we'll stand before the judge." Amen. He said, "I've kept the faith." He said, "Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Amen. What he's saying, he said, praise God. He said, I've stayed the course. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He said, praise God. What I'm waiting for now, all that remains is my reward ceremony. Amen. Amen? He said, "I'm just looking for the reward ceremony, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, who? The righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only." Paul said, wait a minute, Timothy said, "You can get in on this too." And see, a lot of times people look at people at people of faith, born-again believers, and they say, "Boy, I wish I could be like them." I want to say you can be by just trusting in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just committing your life to Him and put up a resistance. Amen. Say, "Lord, help me to do right, to do righteous." He said, "But unto all them also that love His appearing." So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this in closing. One day, every one of us, is going to stand face to face before the judge. Every one of us, just like I did Friday, every one of us is going to stand face to face before a judge, and we're going to wait our turn, and we're going to go in and present ourselves to Him. You better, Bob, ain't nobody going to go in with you. Amen. Mom and Daddy, Grandma, Grandpa, the old saints, nobody's going to go in with you. You're going to present yourself by yourself before God, and you're going to present, and you say, there you'll be. You won't even say, "Lord, here I am," because He's going to know it. Amen. He'll know who you, He knows who you are. And we're going to present ourselves, and we're going to come face to face with a righteous judge. And He's going to look at us, He's going to see our life, and He's going to judge us. But I wonder what He'll say. I hope to goodness He won't say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Oh, them would be the saddest words you could ever hear. And it'd ring in your head throughout all eternity without end. Because you'd spend eternity in a devil's hell, lost without God. "Depart from me, I never knew you." Depart. I see our little time of rebellion that we have here, it ain't worth it. Amen. We need to get on God's side. We need to love the Lord. Let the Lord take us, make us, and change us. Praise God for His glory. So that when we stand before Him, we stand before Him face to face, He can say, "Good morning. Come on in." Praise God. Praise the Lord. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're desiring. That's what we're aiming at. But see, what we got to do is we got to take aim. Amen. Because one day we're going to be standing before the judge face to face, and we need to take aim now. Why? Because if we don't, the Bible says we'll get caught up in Nick, we'll miss the mark. Amen? We'll miss the mark. We don't want to miss the mark. That's a mark of a high calling for the prize, praise God, that's ahead. Amen, in the Lord Jesus Christ.